In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
All right, welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. We're going to be doing a special episode where we just break down a fun true crime documentary or like recent news story.
Mm-hmm. You guys have been you guys have been asking us about this one for a while.
I feel like everyone kind of loves these in general because I feel like we talk so much about the documentaries that we all watch and things like that. But like, oh, we're kind of watching it together right now.
Yeah. So turn on HBO because... Later, we're going to talk about who killed Garrett Phillips, but first, let's just play Crime and Punishment.
Let's do it.
Casey, you had a crazy story today.
So I was actually just a couple minutes late for our recording today because, okay, this is one of my pet peeves, and I rarely go to Starbucks just because I always feel like they're overrated. Well, now that I'm drinking iced tea instead of coffee, I feel better because I truly hate Starbucks coffee. First off, Crime and Punishment, Starbucks coffee, get Dunkin' coffee.
It's gross.
They should just start selling Dunkin' at Starbucks.
I'd pay the upcharge. I'd be fine with that.
I would be fine if they're like, we'll order it for you and you could just pick it up around the corner. But so there was, you know, a huge family in front of me of just people that you can just tell just got here and are like, New York, how fun. It smells, you know.
So why go to Starbucks?
You have them in Ohio. And so no offense, Ohio. Shout out.
The last 5 years.
Yeah. I hate when a family, like when one person, so it's a big order, obviously, and they're getting fucking Danishes and all this shit. And the one, you know, gets like just a tea, which is easy to make. And then so they're like, black tea. And she takes it and then she's like, excuse me, we also had like a pumpkin foam, blah, blah. And it says like the most expensive. Yeah.
Thing.
And you're like, of course the tea is going to come out first. Like, how do you not use your logic and say, it probably takes a long time for them to froth a pumpkin and then to put it on an ice tube pump, light ice, carve the ice into a fucking angel, give me an extra cup and cut my straw into a flat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, we also had, and I was like,
right, it's not fine dining. No. They're not holding your tea so it comes out at the same
your
time.
Your tea hasn't been on the line.
None of you are Queen Elizabeth.
No, but I was just like, come on, man. Like, we also had, there's fucking 10 of you. No. We know that you have more drinks, but a tea is a bag and a water. And so punishment for that, like I said, is that they just shouldn't be able to come here.
You know what my pun? I feel like for that.
You're barred from New York.
If you want your pumpkin whatever drink and you're like, you need it now, go make it. I want you to go behind the counter, whip up your foam, and then look what you're putting into your body
Anything
and be like,
anything that requires more than two ingredients at Starbucks, you can't be mad if it, you can't just be in a rush. Like, that's illegal.
That is illegal. The only thing I will say that I found out in the last couple weeks, why I have to give Starbucks just a little bit of props, it actually has nothing to do with their coffee. I know
they're in the market for props. They need props. Yeah.
They need props?
They need some support. They're kind of, they're struggling.
Their health insurance is incredible.
I've actually heard it's
but
really
do they
good
even let
there.
You work up to full time to get on the health insurance?
I think so. Here's the thing. Okay. So my sister is a nurse and she told me, so they cover things. I think they cover like gender reassignment surgeries and they also cover IVF. So my sister's a nurse and she's like, so many nurses are going part time at Starbucks so that they can get fertility treatments. How wild is that?
Because my friend used to work at Starbucks, but this was like 5 years ago because it was right after we graduated. And they like wouldn't let her get past 30 hours a week
to get
they
it?
Wouldn't really? They didn't
but
want
maybe
her
to get a lawsuit or something like
and I wonder if they need the win now so they're like everybody has babies and be whatever you want to be.
Oh, I was joking. Starbucks isn't a really good place.
But wild, right?
That's insane. So hats off to their HR, I guess. Okay. My crime and punishment is this happened to me this week where like, you know, when you make those plans and you're just like, okay, well on Tuesday we're both going to cancel the plans and it's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Duh. It's an implicit understanding.
I know. So then it was like the plans were made
it's
like Friday. Yeah. And then like, so Tuesday rolls around at 2 and I send the text like, hey, ugh, today's gotten crazy. Right. And the person was like, yeah, oh my God, it's so booked. I was like, yeah, I'm totally fine to reschedule if you need. I know it's like before the holiday comes up. They're like, no, let's do it. Let's hang out.
Oh,
so
gosh,
I had to like sit with a friend to catch up about nothing over like 2 glasses of wine. I was like, why did, who wanted this?
Didn't you post Instagrams about this? It looked fun.
Did it look fun?
Danny's a really good actor.
Danny's shady as fuck.
Danny, even when he's like talking shit, he still is like smiling and looks like he's having fun on his stories. He's like, anyway, I'm super sad right now. And he's like grinning from ear to ear.
Hugging bitch next to me. No, she's so funny. We hop in.
Oh my gosh.
What do you got, sir? Oh, what's the punishment for not canceling plans?
I'm blocking your number.
There we go.
That's like
Sarah,
a fair,
what you got?
I don't even really have that much. Just like general subway malaise, ugh, I guess. People who fucking blast their
videos
without headphones on the subway. What are you doing? Like, I was next to someone on the platform even, and he was just like watching the news full volume. And I'm like, dude.
Who wants this?
Dude, I feel like sometimes these people test us because there's been twice in the last, like, I saw somebody this morning who was bumping. It was Adele, so at least it was pleasurable.
Okay, at least we were
but
all feeling
he,
it.
He, like, a couple people turned to look and he just kind of, like, stared right back at them to be like, yeah, this is rolling
it's
in
like,
the
are
deep.
Are you serious?
Honestly, if you have to blast Adele in public, though, you're going through something that, like, I allow that, actually. Yeah. I allow Adele.
I guess.
Yeah, and I had another guy, but I was, you know, I was in line for a freaking, like, mega bus to Atlantic City, so I deserved it. But this guy was just, it was like a 8 a.m. bus, and at, like, 7 a.m., this man was just blasting Michael Jackson music videos. So I was like, he's making a statement.
Get headphones.
He's still listening.
He knows the debate's
you're
coming
right
up.
Yeah. Yeah. And just he was just looking at people like, I dare you to say something. Yeah. And everybody was like, I guess we all want to listen to Michael this morning.
Yep. That's what I had in mind.
I
think that the punishment is like, I'm going to throw your phone on the subway tracks, in front of that bus.
Down
like,
below.
Yeah. Whatever. Like you lose phone privileges or we're going to make you go deaf or something like that.
Yeah.
Phone privileges or
if you don't know how to use your earbuds, then you don't know how to use your ears responsibly.
Exactly.
You don't
deserve
hearing.
Because the nice thing about listening to music on the subway is that you don't have to hear everything around you, so you want earbuds. Like, I don't get what the joy
of... I know. Oh my God. It's just like asserting dominance. I don't fucking know.
I had the most embarrassing moment the other day, though, in my I'm like that embarrassing person that when I see them, I'm like, fucking stop this. But I like when I'm listening to my music, I totally like bebop and dance and like lip sync and be like, oh my God, you know. And I was doing that and I ran into some people I know and they were like trying to get my attention, but I was like so deep in Lizzo that I couldn't And I remember I took it off and they were like, we just thought we're like, wow, this woman really loves her music. And I was like, first time you called me this woman? I'm a girl. I was also the embarrassing person that, like, got on the subway, like, full on Lizzo.
I've been really experiencing that this week with the new Taylor Swift album. If anyone is feeling that, DM me. Let's talk about it.
I like it. Have you listened to it, Sarah?
Yeah, it's good. It's a
that
little
is the most Sarah Annie.
It's good. It's like a little disjointed. It's not my cup of tea, but
it is a little bit. There's a couple songs where you're like, what? But there's some that are just so super catchy. Which ones do you like?
I was going to say Cruel Summer is great. Like Death by a Thousand Cuts.
I like London Boy.
Oh, I
you
love
know, I love a London Boy.
And she's like, rugby.
I know. Like, I keep asking Robbie about his stories from uni.
Interesting. I don't know the songs by name yet, so that's
the
how
London
many times
I have them all tattooed
them.
On my back.
Yeah.
I have the entire discography.
Oh, okay,
1
great.
To 18.
Just pull up your shirt.
We'll let you know.
All right. Also, thank you guys, everybody who entered.
You guys are amazing.
Please continue to review us and give us five-star reviews.
Keep following us. Keep reviewing us.
Yeah, congrats to our winner.
You're welcome.
It's Erin. We had a debate about this.
Oh, we
so
did.
I might butcher your name. Sorry. Erin.McLemore. Hopefully that is it. Couldn't tell if it was like Micklemore.
Yeah.
And we're just like, let's just thrift shop this shit.
We'll
it's MacLemore now.
Yeah. You get the residuals.
But congrats. DM us. And then, you know, we'll get you like your stuff. And, you know, we'll figure it out. Send you the mug.
Yeah.
And thank you guys, everyone, for entering.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing more.
Yeah. We're working on more stuff, but we really appreciate all the love you've shown. And hopefully we'll be able to, expand.
I know, because you guys were so into it. We're into it. We're going to keep on doing giveaways.
Bitches
cool.
love mugs.
Yeah.
Bitches love mugs. You got to spill that.
And we kind of want to do, like, more merch. So, you know, send your ideas.
Yeah,
damp couch is pending.
Damp couch. Oh my God.
Damp couch crew. I made us a GIF, but I don't know how to find it anymore.
Oh, I saved it to my phone.
Did you? I saved it too, but then I went to go like find it on my computer and it didn't move anymore. And I was like, what the hell?
That's weird. Okay, I'll try to upload it to the Instagram.
Grandma needs help.
Yeah.
Mama needs help.
Okay, so let's talk about this documentary. Yes. Okay. I was like rage texting Danny and Casey, just a stream of consciousness constantly.
The documentary we're talking about is Who Killed Garrett Phillips, and it's on HBO. It premiered this it was this summer, right?
Or... Yeah, it didn't come out that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. It came out after the Michelle Carter one.
Did it? I think before.
Okay.
I don't remember. Basically, the
gist... But it's out there.
Yeah, the
it's
gist is like this 12-year-old boy, Garrett Phillips, is... like strangled and suffocated in his home in Potsdam, New York, which is like upstate.
Yeah. It's like a town, it's a tiny town of like 16,000 people, I think.
Yeah, it's small. They have a SUNY school. I thought it closed, but then I tried to Google it and
no,
like,
I think they do because I have friends that went there.
I know, but I think it has since, I thought it had since closed like kind of recently, but then I tried to look it up on the SUNY website and like, I don't know, it was still there. And I'm like, I know some SUNY school closed.
Something
anyways,
happened.
It doesn't matter. They have a SUNY school there. They have like another university. Mm-hmm. This is not important at all. I just went on a tangent. Basically this guy, Nick Hillary, who was like one of the few black people in the town, used to date Garrett's mom.
He was very involved in the community.
Super involved. He was like a star, soccer coach.
He was a soccer coach. He was a star soccer player before that.
Right.
Yeah.
And he got, over like the course of many years, he eventually got arrested for the murder.
Yeah. People claimed that he was, that they, so he was dating Garrett's mom. They like lived together. Mm-hmm. But it just seems out that the way that he parented the boys, her boys weren't too keen on it. And she's like, well, let's stay together, but let's maybe move to separate houses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then eventually it just didn't work out. Like I think Tandy, who is Garrett's mom.
Tandy Cyrus. Yeah.
Tandy Cyrus at the end of
I know. She just sounds like a lost Cyrus family
member. It really
does. You know? Tandy.
She kind of looks like a big,
Trish.
Yeah. Yeah. Trish, big blue eyes and everything.
I know.
Yeah.
But essentially they were going to try to make it work living in separate places, but I think Tandy was like, you know what, I think it's just not gonna work. But they apparently had a great relationship, like they really cared for each other. The document shows like emails and stuff like that where they're talking about how much they care about each other. But it didn't work out as relationships are wont to do.
Yes.
And then but
it's not even make sense.
Unlike
there.
Most relationships, it did end in with a murder involved.
I know. I was saying, I was like, geez, I'm never complaining about my exes again, because like at least my ex never went to his ex and tried to railroad me for fucking murder. Jesus Christ. Talk about a bad ex.
John Jones?
John Jones. Because
do you imagine how Nick probably feels? He's like, oh my God, I dated this fucking white bitch and now she railroaded me for murder.
I know.
Can you, like, seriously, I bet he thought that a bajillion times. Because I thought it within the first 5 minutes of the documentary.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because then she's with John Jones, who is this, like a police officer in the
town. He's a deputy sheriff. He still is a deputy sheriff.
That's also,
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what the different title. Like they kept on saying like he's a sheriff, but he's. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It was kind of like they kind of doubled down on saying that Nick Hillary was the person who did it, even though so much of. What I was thinking, so much of the evidence kind of pointed to John Jones being.
There was no evidence that pointed to either of them.
But John Jones, the case against John Jones would be that he was jealous of Nick because essentially Tandy broke up with John Jones to date Nick, and so it's so funny because everyone in the documentary is like, we're not a racist town, but we don't have any black people.
Every witness kept on bringing up, they're like,
we're not racist.
People are thinking that we're racist.
We're not.
I'm just saying what I saw. You saw nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, unless people don't want to admit that they're like racist or even have racial biases, is the thing. But it's like, unless you're seriously wearing a fucking hood and in the KKK, like, you're not going to think that you're racist.
Exactly. Yeah. They just think it's especially them, they're like, that's just the way it is.
And
you're
it's predominantly white town.
I do think that they not only don't think that they're racist, I don't think that they're necessarily, or some of these people are like intending to be harmful. I just think that they have no exposure to diversity.
They're a little uneducated.
And they're biased. Mm-hmm. Like we all have implicit biases and they're just biased, but they won't even acknowledge that they have these biased views. And that's kind of the problem.
And then also even when they were taking because both of these men kind of got taken in for questioning and like getting debriefed by the cops on how they like they made Nick Hillary like, strip all of his clothes.
Yeah, and they'd never done that
before. Let's talk about the treatment of Nick Hillary.
Because that's what I thought was very and that's what I was reading. I want to get her name up. I was reading an interview with the director of this, Liz Garbus, and she was saying that I thought, because it is a two-parter, it's kind of like, I want to say like maybe like 4-ish hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
three or four hours.
Yeah.
And she was like, I thought it was so, because you got a lot of Nick's backstory and his treatment, because she's like, this is such an integral part of this case and the story. It's how this town treated Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that will make your blood boil when you see how they called him in to question him, to ask him about this list of students or something. Because mm-hmm. I think there was at one point a theory that Garrett was kind of messed around by some bullies, by some other kids. And then in the documentary, they say that was thrown out there and then basically just kind of dropped and nobody ever spoke of it again, that mm-hmm. he could have been possibly, he was hanging out with some kids and mm-hmm. he could have been possibly gotten tossed around by these kids who did it. So they bring Nick into question to ask him about this list of kids. And then, of course, they start doing that fucked up cop thing that's like, listen, we know you did it. Just talk to us. Just, you said this. Mm-hmm. And then he's yeah. like, and he's like so smart and so composed and thing. Like, the guy was a fucking military guy. Well, so he knew his rights. He knew everything. But then they made him get fucking
and
naked.
And that's what I...
It's terrible.
I mean, even though he did know his rights, he still... almost didn't, like, he knew more than most people, but yeah. I was like, dude, no wire. I was like, get a liar.
But like, how, like, for them to physically right. yeah. block his door, and he was right. trying to call the liar. They yeah. took his phone.
Well, and that's
he right. was trying to call his lawyer, and they were like, give us your phone. When you have to give us your phone.
When he said right. in that part, was he was so unethical. Like, I could have moved them out of the way,
yeah.
or I could have bulldozed them out of the way. Either way
yeah.
I would have, they would have so used they, right. that for something.
They physically trapped him. They tried to ask him, oh, that stupid question where they're like, do you watch CSI? Do you know DNA? And he's like, no. And they're like, you're lying. You don't know DNA? He's like, no, I know DNA. He's like, well, I just asked you. He's like, but you don't, he's
yeah,
like, you
they were
if I
so
watched
weird.
CSI.
And I know. And they were also like, they were like, well, were all right, dude, like, you know, you have the right to remain silent. Like, you're under arrest. Like, or they didn't say you're under arrest. They were like, you have the right to remain silent. And like, it's cool. Anything you say can be used against you. And they did it so casually. And he was like,
those guys were
well,
fucking dicks.
He was like, wait, what's going on? And they were like, well, you're not under arrest. And it's like, well, you just
read me
like,
my Miranda
rights. Low key, read me my Miranda rights.
My Miranda Hobbs rights.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
yes, the Miranda Hobbs rights. Sex and stated.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, they were so weird about it. And
they were just rude. They were just being dick cops, being like, listen, yeah. we know what you did. And he's like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I hate when, like, that they use these tactics of just like, let me treat this person like an idiot. Like, the bullying.
Because they try to just always yeah. one up them. And it's yeah. in a situation, too, where it's like, if you're being taken in for questioning, it would be, I would just assume it'd be very hard to keep your cool and kind of, because even if you're not guilty,
that's what they, that's obviously what they do. Like, they kind of have to do that because you can't just take in a murder and be like, hey, dude, like, why don't you just tell us? And the murderer's like, no. And you're like, okay, like, that's fine. You obviously have to employ some kind of tactics to get confessions out of people.
But when you watch it, it's so cringeworthy. Like, when I watch the tactics, like, the same thing, like, when you watch, like, Making a Murderer and things like that, and you're just like, what the fuck is this? But I will say, I have the same feelings about this documentary that I did about Making a Murderer. Maybe mm-hmm. you guys agree with this. It's like, mm-hmm. I truly believe that he's innocent, but then I also am like, but then who is it?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really hard to, it's like, this guy is clearly innocent, but we need another thing.
Right.
Like, I don't yeah. think, like, Stephen Avery, I don't think they did it in Making a Murderer, but also it's just like,
it's the same thing with Serial.
It?
It's like, if he didn't do it, who did?
Well, yeah, there's no other.
And it's that hard thing too, where they spend yeah. so much time just pigeonholed down this one person that, like, yeah. Everything's moved, everything's gone.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. they'll never find it because the DA literally said at the end of yeah. his, when he was acquitted.
Mary, yeah. This,
she
like,
was just like, yeah.
Scary ass DA, Mary Rain.
Yeah. She was like, nope. You know, he did it and nobody else did it and we're not going to investigate it. She literally said that on camera.
It's so interesting because she was one who ran with that as her platform. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She ran with it as her platform. But then did you see at the end where it said that she's been barred permanently for like misconduct all over the place? Because even
yeah, I mean, she literally quit her job when she was a prosecutor. Right, I think a public defender or something like that, so. Because she couldn't handle the workload, and then it's like, oh, you're going to be a DA.
Yeah,
that's like, yeah, you quit your job, but then you apply for a promotion. It's like, what are you talking about?
That's white lady confidence.
Honestly, respect. I need some of that injected in my veins.
Seriously, but how crazy was it that they actually threw out? She questioned Nick Hillary's oldest daughter, and they threw the whole thing out because she was. They were like, you're fucking badgering this girl. She's like, she asked me the same question over and over. Like, this woman was just terrible. And like, they wanted the whole thing centered around, they just wanted a conviction. They didn't actually care if
they
Nick wanted
to put it to rest.
They wanted to be like, we're heroes, which I feel like happens a lot in like these kind of things. It's like people just want to look like they want to be in the good graces of everybody.
Well, and also,
you know?
It's a weird situation. It's a weird way to look at it, but so many of when a case gets as publicized and like someone is running on the platform for it, it becomes like a political thing of people being like,
that's what it was, totally.
Yeah, that's like, we need to prove this to make us all look good type of thing. So it's less about, and that's when it starts to be less about the justice and more about the optics of the case. And that's what this entire case was.
Yeah.
Injustice with Nancy Grace.
Seriously. Injustice Nancy.
Nancy! Let's get her.
She would hate my outfit.
She wants to come back when her book is out.
Yeah, she does.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Speaking of optics, it's interesting because I tried to do some outside research because I was like, all right, this documentary, it got me. It's pulling on my heartstrings, but clearly there's like stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick, maybe not a murder. It's like funny because Nick and Jim Jones, basically you could levy the
Jim Jones.
Don't trust any guy whose name starts with J and ends with Jones.
Jim Jones, John Paul Jones.
That's what he said, John Paul Jones. He showed us some colors
last week. And like, that was so cool. He kept on talking about the Bachelor podcast. Yeah. That is so funny. We need to get Nancy Grace to shout us out or something.
I know.
That would be cool. Let's get her on Bachelor in Paradise and then she'll shout us out.
I would never watch a show faster. Nancy Grace on Bachelor in Paradise. Let her bartend with Wells.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because like, okay, both Nick and John, I got to cross it out of my notes. I just had serial killers on the brain, I guess. they were both accused of being these like overbearing
parents,
creepy guys.
Yeah.
Like the New York Times said that, according to Ms. Cyrus, Mr. Hiller did not take the breakup well. She described him as overbearing and obsessive. Though she conceded that they continued to exchange texts and talk, and one occasion had intimate relations. He showed up at her apartment. The New York Times said one time, Grant Lance, and he showed up at her apartment twice, unannounced. One time was in the middle of the night, and Grant Lance said that he just stood over her bed while she was sleeping.
Nick,
yeah.
But also John did like this. John used to come to her house as well, right? And John also went to Nick's house and threatened
Nick. They both did creepy stuff because John went to Nick and was like, dude, are you sleeping with Tandy? And he like...
At that point, he wasn't.
Right. And he apparently like, I guess, was texting him and like calling him a coward and a pussy. And like, and he apparently pushed Tandy and like threatened her.
Yeah. So John's also the one that told Nick's wife that, hey, I think they're about to start a relationship.
Right.
At this point, he hadn't left his
wife
yet.
But it's just like both of these guys like possibly were accused of doing shady shit that makes them both look bad.
Suspicious.
I don't know. I feel like it's just pretty interesting.
Well, also because it's the thing. It's like there are moments of it because it even starts out with just kind of like a lover's quarrel type of situation where like from this, but then it just gets unfortunately like increased to the... in like 10,000th degree with
it. I mean, it is, they keep saying it's not about race, but this really is just about
I think race, even like in reading the Grantland article and the New York Times, I just got the impression everyone's like, oh, Garrett hated Nick. But I feel like Garrett hated Nick because one, he was
dating his mom.
Well, he was he was a black man dating his mom and the kids would make fun of him. And also because he was actually just instituting structure and trying to like, enforce rules.
Father figure.
So
he was also like a fucking kid. Like, we all hate our parents at a certain age, apparently, regardless if they're ours or not.
Yeah, like Nick didn't want the kids to watch TV during the week. So it's like, I would probably hate someone who didn't let me watch TV during the week. But like, it doesn't mean he actually hated him enough for an adult to kill a child.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think about Garrett, like he's got this mom. He's got the mom probably has had they said she was like pretty, you know, she was a very good looking woman. And so she's had
three kids by three different men.
Boyfriends.
Two or three, I don't remember.
But also, like, his father passed away. Like, this is a kid that probably has some issues to work out. So, of course, I think anybody that steps in and acts like a father, they're going to push against. I think you're right. Like, I think it's just, like, no TV. And he's like, fuck you, man. You're not my dad.
Yeah, he's 12. Like, come on.
Who wants TV?
And I know, and I kind of...
He wants his flipboard, kickboard.
And like, just jumping, like, up to the...
The thing they kept talking about, the, like, skateboard. They keep calling, like, a kickboard.
And jumping to, like,
I'm like, imagine
sniffer dogs.
Sniffers.
Which we realized.
Oh, my God.
Are real.
Kind of talking about too, just to give people more of a basis, like with the town, how we were kind of all that it's sort of just like either just biases that they had, just like the and but where it kind of went to see, like, no, they were actually were a lot of racist people in the town. The messages and the comments that were
Facebook messages. No, I'm not saying nobody is racist in that town.
Also, the it's so because Nick Hillary just opted to have I forget the name of it, but when there's no jury with the
a bench trial, I think was very
I think that was so smart.
Because. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they looked at one of the people who was going to be the juror, and they were, and it was
friends of their
friends of the Phillips, and talking all about how they can't wait to put Nick in jail.
Also, even that terrible,
the town is 94% white.
94%, yeah. And even that terrible DA Mary Rain said, I knew one of the jurors. We knew he would be fair. It's like, he's not going to, if you know him, it's not going to fucking be fair.
Yeah. And also, you think it's going to be fair because it's going to be in your favor that you got elected for.
Yeah. Yeah. So, spoiler alert. You want to do the ending, Sarah?
Spoiler alert. He was acquitted.
Yes.
Thank God. I really was like watching this documentary on the edge of my seat. Okay, I couldn't tell. I really thought it was going to go another way. I was like, this dude's spending his life in jail. Let's like, it's over.
About why they, what their whole case was, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing. Like, literally nothing. Okay, here we go. Actually, according to Grantland, sorry. Okay, here's some of the evidence that they had. Police records show that officers spoke with two people who claimed to see Hillary near Cyrus's home on the afternoon of Garrett's death. A witness, Dale Rice, said he saw Hillary's car just a few blocks from the apartment between 4:43 and 4:45 p.m. Brian Phillips, the brother of Garrett's late father, also said he saw Hillary driving a block from Cyrus's apartment between 4:30 and 5.
The brother really wanted to put
Cyrus's neighbor called the police at 5:07 to report the disturbing sounds coming from the home. So it's maybe two eyewitness statements, but then again, this town is pretty small, so there's like any number of reasons they could have been in the vicinity of this apartment between this time.
Yeah, the entire like thing is like within the thing of two blocks. Like the school, her house,
I think it's like a mile or something like that. It's really short.
Yeah, so they have a video that has Nick Hillary leaving the school where he coaches, and it was raining, he's waiting at the rain. So they have a video of Garrett on a skateboard going home, and they have a video of Nick driving, and he goes the opposite way of his, he made a left instead of a right, which was their whole argument that the left,
literally, the left
meant that he was following Garrett, right to his house. He's like, I don't know, if I went left, I might have been going to my other coach's house. Like, I don't fucking know.
Seriously, now I feel like I need to just keep a detailed log of everything I do and why, because like, for instance, our office is right by the 23rd Street station. And I live in Queens, so I live uptown. Sometimes, though, I just want to, like, play my luck, possibly get more subways, go downtown to Union Square to catch the N or the W. Mm-hmm. And then what if I'm, like, arrested for murder because someone's like, why would you go downtown to go uptown? I'm like, I don't know. You're like, sometimes you just do stuff. Like, goddamn.
Because the yellow line is rooming.
I'm like, I wanted to go to Panera. Like, sue a bitch.
There's nothing to do in Potsdam. I'm like, maybe he just wanted to take a left turn that day for fun.
Well, he was also, like, that was the way of his assistant coach. And the assistant coach was like, he came to my house for a minute and then he went home. Right. And which is what's his story the whole time. But then what the crazy thing is that they have the video of John Jones also like John Jones's car. They have him on a thing also essentially going the same way towards Tandy and Garrett's house. And so the defense attorney was seen walking his dog
around the time of the murder.
Right around the time.
I loved that one guy who was like still against. Yeah, he was like still against Hillary. He was like, he couldn't have done it. Who brings a dog to a murder? I'm like, I don't know.
A guy that wants an alibi that was like, I was walking my fucking dog.
I don't know. Yeah, literally anyone, someone who didn't premeditate it and just this was a murder by like opportunity and chance, which is what I think.
I loved the defense attorney that was like, the same thing, that the same argument that you're putting for Nick could be said for John Jones.
Exactly.
And then right there you go, this is about race, this is about something. These are both ex-boyfriends, both that she dumped, but one is black and one is white.
Yeah, because it's both them. Both have had interesting, like, questionable behaviors.
Questionable, right. Questionable,
so everything
behaviors.
Locks up. Why should they be looked at differently?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I don't know.
It's such a
why
weird
should
thing.
One be strip photographed and one just gets photos of like their socks.
And his face wasn't so even crazy. In it. That was so crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just love that they pointed out that they were like, he also fucking went left. John Jones did the same thing.
And he also was in law enforcement. So I feel like he probably even got extra considerations that Nick didn't get.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Because like his questioning kind of just seemed like it was like a brunch, people just talking,
right?
Like he was holding hands, like it was like, what are we doing here?
yeah
And obviously now, of course, if you look things up, like Nick Hillary, you know, can't get a job. I think he's working nighttime at a company. He's like volunteer coaching soccer.
He was a coach.
The scenes with his kids broke my heart, because you're just like, this is just a guy who has five kids that is just trying to like, He was like a soccer star, like, and now he has this like mark on his name. So he's suing the village of Potsdam for the second, or he's trying to get a civil suit.
That was the craziest, the because for, the, like, libel, I feel like, and stuff like that. After he got released because they didn't have enough evidence to indict him the first time, he's like, I'm going to sue the city in a civil case. And I'm like, don't do it. That's what happened to Stephen Avery. Then this case gets drummed back up. He gets arrested again. And I'm like, dude, no.
I know.
Like, stop with the civil cases. You're just putting a target on your back. But, like, do get your money, I guess.
And, like, he wants justice for him. So
But also a civil case, which is the scary part, which happened the first time, is that they have to hire someone to fight it. And so the person that they hire to fight the civil case is somebody that ultimately is still trying to make him look guilty for it. But he can't go...
But now he can't get arrested for this again.
No, that's double jeopardy.
Like, he's good.
Again, good movie. Mm.
Still, though.
You see a tit in the beginning.
Don't do it. All right. I remember being adding it to my list. We need to see more.
Sarah's like streaming that.
Don't you guys remember? Like, when I was like 12, I remember like seeing the nudity thing come up on a thing, and I was like, yes!
Oh, yeah. You're like, okay, we're in this.
Love a little tit now and again.
A tidbit, yeah.
I love a little tit.
Just kind of a taking back to just in general about how the movie was, or the documentary was produced. Why does HBO love putting text messages on the screen?
Oh my God, I found that so goddamn annoying.
I had that issue with Michelle Carter where the entire thing.
But the Michelle
thing,
Carter, well, that was the whole like, goddamn bloop, relationship. Bloop,
but then also, bloop. I'm like, just put it, just email it to me, HBO. Let me scroll through the text.
This one I just was, get rid of the sound effect every time. I don't need to get the
It kind of makes me feel like I read a book, though. I'm like, oh, the Garrett Phillips book? I read that.
I hate when I have to read a movie, honestly.
I know, because I wanted to put it, I was like,
also,
getting
why should
ready.
I have to read a movie? Like, that's not the right verb.
Yeah.
I know. But I mean, how else could they have done it? I also think if they were to be like, this is his, like, make voices, you know, and be like,
that's
what I'm saying. Then you get it. Then it's a fucking, it's an investigative discovery reenactment where you're like, no, stop. So I think
it's like America's Most Wanted.
I think that the reading is the lesser of two. I think reading is less than dramatic reenactment.
You're right.
Okay, reenactments are so.
Oh, those are so cringy. And that would have just ruined the entire critical quality.
I do think it was really well done. And even though those emails or texts, whatever they were like annoying, I was like, oh, wow, they really cared about each other. I'm like, damn, you guys are talking on the phone and texting. Like,
it looked like they were like emails.
And I didn't know what it was.
They kept addressing each other as like Mrs. Cyrus, Mr. Mr.
It was
Hillary.
Like cute.
It was very like old school. Yeah, like love letter type stuff.
It was cute.
So you do see that they had a relationship. I will say one thing that I wished we saw more of Tandy, but I know it seems like Tandy was a very private person. She didn't really.
Yeah.
So, but clearly she cried when he was innocent. So I think that she believed it, which was kind of a heartbreaking moment of thing when he was like, I can't even believe that. Like, he's like, I lived with this person. It wasn't like we were just seeing each other now and again. Like, we lived together. I can't believe she thought that I did this.
But I also felt like I didn't get a concrete timeline of their relationship, but I got the impression that their relationship was
like
kind of rushed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you're already living with your bajillion kids in the same house. You haven't been dating like for more than a year.
I think
that's a little rushed.
I don't know. I moved in with guys after 2 months. I mean,
what?
Yeah, it didn't go well, but
see,
you know.
That's what I mean.
But
at least
you didn't
get convicted of murder.
You're like, that's like in the happiest part of the relationship. So it's just like you're seeing them all the time in those first couple months. So it's like, why don't we just?
Well, what I'm
like
saying is like you don't have the best idea of what a person's really like when you're just like going in the honeymoon phase and acting off of like infatuation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Still, that's not to say that he did it or anything.
No. I don't think. Do you guys? I don't think he did it.
No.
I think there's more evidence towards John Jones, but I don't think that will ever be. Nick did it. But
I think there's
also
any evidence one way or the other because there's no DNA of either of them. There's no fingerprints of either of them.
Yeah.
They both did the same exact sketchy shit, and they were both maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like they both could have done it. I don't think. I just don't feel like I like John Jones because he seems like a racist, but. That's not to say that he, I don't know. Like, I think there's the same amount of no evidence.
Mm-hmm. Same amount of no evidence.
Well, I feel like that's kind of what, because I was reading the director also was saying that there is so much nitty gritty that goes on and a lot of inconsistencies and errors and kind of just not a lot of information that can like determine what the case would be. So a lot of what she wanted to get with the documentary was to shine a light on how Nick Hillary was treated, because she was like, if you look up any of it, it was less of a who killed Garrett Phillips, which is ironic with the documentary title, and it was more of a get Nick Phillips, like that, get Nick Hillary.
It's the wrong focus,
it was,
for sure.
And I feel like that's kind of what ruined the case from the get-go, because it was more of like, okay, we got a bow, we got a boom, 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 instead of being like, okay, let's actually bird's eye view some more evidence that's probably gone and forgotten.
And clearly, now. I mean, I think, did I already say this? I mean, like, if there was a jury, he would have been found guilty.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, I think so.
It would have been deliberated in 2 minutes. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's also why the first DA didn't, like, push the case. She tried to get an indictment, didn't do it, like, kind of just let it marinate for a while because she knew that she didn't have enough evidence. Yeah. And meanwhile, the other lady came in and was like, this bitch isn't doing shit. It's like, I don't know, maybe she's like, just like trying to play smart because she knows that she doesn't have anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now, I don't know, I watched too much Law and Order. I'm like, now he's gone free, so you can't try him again. So cool.
Do we think there's anything in the possibly it was some kids bullying him because he like did go home with some or he had some
the choking
over.
Theory or whatever.
Yeah. Of like maybe because I don't know if you guys I actually did play this game when I was younger. Me and my friends, we
choke
would
until you
yeah, we would
my
go.
God, you were into some shit.
No.
But
just,
I know
it was
that
like
was,
an interesting
I didn't
thing.
Play it, but
like
I know
you would
that.
Like
yeah.
you'd like hyperventilate yourself and then somebody would choke you and then you would wake up on the ground. And I remember there was like a Dark. Phase when I was doing it a bunch. And I remember my mom like somebody being like, you will could die. Like, don't do that. I'm like, I know, but it's really fun. You wake up and you don't know where you were, and blah, like, and they're like, that's fun. I'm like, I don't know. It was just a phase. Like,
you're
I was like, in eighth
you
grade.
Just drink too much wine and it'll happen.
I was in eighth grade, and it was just that's so weird that it was like something that people were doing like slap
it was
bracelets.
Like that,
we're
like, yeah,
that's
literally
fine.
That, like sniffing white out, playing all these weird things. Are just like
I never sniffed, but I did. I did do the pass out.
What's the weirdest thing you did in middle school?
Yeah.
No, but I do. I mean, and it's a,
I'm like trying to think. I'm like, where
and
do
it's
I
a
start?
Thing too, where
it could have been a thing.
I'd be like, how could that happen? But then you read stories now with like the Slender Man and things like that where kids can
they're doing
do
stuff.
Things and not know what they're doing maybe but it's
they're doing
I feel
stuff.
Like we've said that so many times we're like kids are just fucked up like,
kids are watch Euphoria kids are fucked the fuck up
kids
are,
they're doing stuff the they're learning stuff they know more things
they're on TikTok
all right so I obviously went on TikTok. Reddit the Unsolved Mysteries
Queen
subreddit.
Of Reddit
I love Reddit
you are
Sarah F. Carter
okay I thought it was interesting user Soul Silence wrote I live in the next town over and work in Potsdam. I've never heard anything about the knockout theory you mentioned or the supposed prevalence of this
What's
game.
What's the knockout theory?
That's what you're talking about, the choking thing.
Oh, okay.
And this, and he says, or she says, and this case has been discussed into the ground by locals. It's interesting, but seems like a long shot, especially given the way such trends tend to be isolated among a very few and then amplified by perception into everyone is doing it, which I think is kind of true. Like the media loves to be like, oh, like, everyone's getting, I don't know, weed in their
or
Halloween
like the Tide
candy.
Pod challenge.
Yeah, but, it's like, no, like two people did that and it's like, chill. You know what I mean? People think everyone's doing it.
Well, I mean, I brought it to a couple different groups of friends personally.
Who ate Tide Pods?
No, we didn't. No, I'm too old for Tide Pods, but I passed
right, you did
the fuck
OG
out in
Tide
chorus
Pods.
Class.
Oh my God.
I remember I brought it
you
and then
it
I did it
school?
To my friends and I did it at school and then we go on this family vacation every year with the same people and there's like three girls my age and I remember that summer I showed them and then we would pass out and then my friend played a joke on me because after she woke up she acted like she was like Nell afterwards and we were like well, I'm like I ruined her and then she was just joking
you
the whole
it.
Time but
phenomenal
I stopped.
Reference
baby Tane win
Oscar snub
have you seen Nell
No. What is that?
Have you heard of a woman named Jodie Foster?
Yeah. I've heard of Jodie Foster, obviously. Barely. Okay.
Well, she plays a woman who lives in the woods, essentially.
Okay. Sounds cool, I guess.
Do we have a call from a listener?
I got a call like in the middle of this recording, and I was like, no. Bad time, unless it's, I don't know, like...
Unless it's Nancy Grace,
we're
not answering.
Unless it's someone in Potsdam, I'm not answering.
Yeah.
Or Nancy.
Or Nancy Joe.
Or Nancy. Or Alexis
Meyer. Yeah, right.
I
want to
call Alexis.
I actually
we
do
need to set up a call with her. Just to say hi.
Who do you think got, like, who you, that, did you talk about your theory?
I think it's, I mean, I kind of think it's John Jones.
John Jones. Yeah, I keep wanting to call him Jim Jones or John Paul Jones.
Yeah. I keep on wanting to say John Jones.
John Jones.
Don't you dare sully the good Mike Jones's name like that.
I think if it wasn't John Jones's on his own hands, I think it had something to do with him. I think that he seems creepy enough to try to drive her back to him, back to the safety.
By murdering her kid?
Well, also, I feel like you have, there's some instances people where people are fucked are like, up. Oh, I want to be with this woman, but I fucking hate the kid. Or so, you know what I mean?
Well, that was the whole thing that they said. They painted Nick to hate Garrett and Garrett to hate Nick, like we said. And so they were like, he did this. But I mean, literally the story of the spurned ex-boyfriend who's a cop getting mad at the black guy who's dating his girlfriend seems much more plausible.
And also, I feel like as a cop, he has everyone on his side in the town, which we saw happen. And then also, he would know the basic of like how to do things without blatant evidence.
Yeah, they're never going to suspect him. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it would have been a premeditated murder either way. I feel like it would have just been a crime of opportunity sort of thing. That's kind of how I feel.
And you feel that you don't lean one way or the other?
I don't think Nick did it. I think it's interesting because if we're talking about evidence, there's none for really either, or it's kind of the same. Mm-hmm. But just going on feeling, my feeling is pointing towards John Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, you know what I mean? It's that's mm-hmm. my own implicit bias. So who's to say? Thank God I'm not on a jury or in law enforcement. Oh,
I
know.
That's why I shouldn't have. I'm like, if someone brought me into to be a juror, I'd be like, no, I judge everybody, and I always just assume things. So do not.
And they'd be like, you're hired.
No, literally, they'd be like, come to Potsdam. Yeah.
Yeah, come to Potsdam.
You called it Pundum?
I messed it up with Plymouth Rock in my head.
Danny called it Pundum.
Pundum. Guys, if anyone wants to join my cult, Pundum,
let's go drink Caroline and Pundum.
Oh, boy.
I wonder if anyone did that challenge.
It hasn't come out yet.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll find out.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything else?
I think.
Here's one thing that I think is interesting, because this case was totally circumstantial evidence and we're all like, he didn't do it. There's no evidence. But I was watching the Scott Peterson documentary. There's also no physical evidence.
I need to watch that.
It's also all circumstantial. So why are we he did it. Lock him up. There's no way that he's innocent.
See, that's the thing, is everybody says that documentary, it'll make you think that Scott, you'll be on the fence with what Scott, if he did or did not do it.
I think, obviously, that documentary is very biased and has an agenda, and I think you can kind of poke holes in any case.
Mm-hmm.
And so many cases don't have DNA or physical evidence, and they do just rely on circumstantial evidence.
I think Scott did it because he bleached his hair. You know, he did that weird, highlight.
To be fair, he acted. That was the real crime. Yeah. That was the crime.
I was like, he went with the Guy Fieri look. That guy, murderer.
Ugh, yeah. Guy Fieri, lock him up.
Honestly.
I mean, there was definitely more weird ass stuff that Scott did than necessarily either of these men seemed to do.
And obviously there was the thing, the affair. So I could say that they would point to this guy wasn't a truthful person. I have to watch it because I want to see this other side.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. But then at the end, it was they were kind of building up to this big theory of who did it. And it was just meth heads. There's a lot of people in this town that do meth. And I was like, that's it. That's your theory, is that there's a meth problem.
The JonBenet book. Circus clowns. Yeah. Went through a window.
Small band of terrorist kidnappers. No, but it was the... Oh, my God. I forgot. It's the circus. Yeah. Oh, what did he say? It was SBTC. Tiny. I'll never...
Yeah.
Because that's what I think happened.
Wait, it was a small band of... That was what he said. Yeah, small band of terrorist kidnappers.
Through a window.
The circus performers.
I know. Okay. They really do. All these things really make you go, we've got new leads. And then at the end, they'll be like... Just kidding.
Yeah, it's okay. Thanks a lot.
People are sketchy. That's the thing. It's someone.
Watch out. Could have been a guy.
Yeah.
Because even the Madeleine McCann was maybe it was this one guy.
Yeah.
We'll never know if it was that guy, because it could have been this other guy.
Right.
At least, if it was this lady.
It could be anything.
At least for this documentary, it wasn't done in 8 parts. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. Danny and I were saying.
And they didn't make me want to visit Potsdam.
Yeah.
No. That's what we were saying. We're like, if and Netflix
wasn't
had done
a spade
this.
At. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been 17 hours, 1 hour just dedicated to the founding of the city of Potsdam. Yeah.
There would have been a musical ballet interlude. Oh, yeah.
They would have been come to Poughkeepsie too. It's also in New York. What were we
literally. Yeah. Yeah. Here's Poughkeepsie. It's beautiful. Syracuse University.
Yeah. They would have taken us back to the fucking pilgrim times of when we landed here and been like, Potsdam was from Flint and Flint.
That's why I said Plymouth Rock. I'm conditioned to Netflix documentaries where we would have talked about Plymouth Rock.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah. Somehow we would have had fucking pilgrims and Netflix Indians, and they would have been like, Potsdam, named for fucking this guy. You know, it would have been.
It would be billions of years ago, there was a big bang in the universe.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, so Adam and Eve were... Thank you, HBO, for making us a two-episode.
Cutting to the
chase. Yeah.
Even that was long, but I didn't feel like anything was unnecessary.
I thought it was all pretty good.
To kind of give you the character of Nick Hillary and how he had to, what he had to interact with his kids and everything.
I would say I kind of briefly just threw away earlier. They did in fact, almost like brush over a couple things I wanted to know about, like the whole timeline of Tandy and Nick and him telling his wife, if John Jones told Nick's wife,
because oh, they yeah, just that
were
kind of,
they were just kind of like, he's like, my wife didn't know. And he's like, I told his wife. And then they were just like, now they date it. Now they're dating. You know, like, I mean, I kind of wanted to see what that was. Yeah. And then they also were like, Nick isn't working. He's just taking care of his five kids. So that, does that mean that the ex-wife now is just, is full on child supporting? Like what, like I kind of wanted to know.
That was after
what
he'd
was
already
that.
Been arrested.
Yeah, but then he was, but still, it's like, how then if this guy can't get a job, dad. Yeah, how is he That's, getting money if oh, he's not with his wife and he has five kids and they had a home and it seemed like there was food and you know, right. all this stuff. It's like, what was
know.
Happening?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so there were some actually unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Mm. I will here say, at HBO.
Right?
Tell me this. Liz. Tell me this stuff. At Liz.
Honestly, I feel like I just watched too many crime documentaries because I was almost like, pleasantly surprised with the outcome of this.
I know. When you were saying, you were oh. like, I'm so mad. I'm already mad at what's going to happen. I wanted like to be like, you're going to be okay.
Well, yeah. because I was yeah. like, all right, he's in plain clothes. He's talking on a documentary. It Which didn't means- seem like he was from jail, but I was like, you mm-hmm. never fucking know.
They might throw a pass.
Take notes, Manitowoc County. Yeah. I was just kind of pleasantly surprised. Even the judge cereal. Was like seemingly actually Fair. Partial.
Yeah.
There was,
yeah.
I was also reading.
Like there's no fucking evidence.
Right. I was also reading maybe, I think it was Grantland or the New York Times. I read two articles, guys. I don't know. But the earlier judge had like filed a complaint against the DA. And so he recused himself from the case. So they brought in like a new judge. And I was like, wow, you guys are like doing what you're supposed
doing
to
the right
do.
Thing.
I know. It's very.
Like,
yeah.
what? Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes things run okay.
Upstate yeah. New York.
Yeah.
Show Wisconsin Upstate. How it's done.
Yeah. Seriously. Free Stephen Avery. But here's the thing though, people always say about Stephen Avery, they're like, do you believe he's innocent, but would you like get in a car with him?
No.
So what are we doing? But I would get in a car with Nick Hillary. I thought about that when I was
Seemed
watching
like
it.
A nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that one line that the DA was like, he didn't just have a six pack, he had an eight pack.
I know. They're like they're, oh okay, yeah, when man. She was like, he could have ran to that house in 45 seconds.
Yeah, it was yes. 800 meters. He'd have to be faster than Usain Bolt. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I'm like, also like no. sorry,
that lady
fit?
Was a fucking yeah. idiot. I hated Mary Rain. Suck yeah. on my tits.
Oh my god,
Mary Rain, you could suck it. Mary at Mary Rain.
Also, Susan Sarandon could have kind of played her.
Maybe I could like see it
if it's like Susan Sarandon, like.
Susan Sarandon's a tough bitch.
Yeah, and she owns the restaurant nearby.
Black Cat.
No, Spin.
Oh, Spin, and she
okay,
owns
we're off the whales.
The ping pong bar.
What's happening?
Yeah, okay. So yeah. that's just, I mean, that's how I feel like you end a Labor Day episode.
Susan Sarandon yeah. owns a ping oh pong bar. Yeah. Well, and here's okay. our sign off.
We don't know who killed Garrett Phillips.
But no.
we do know
Sarandon.
Is Susan Sarandon.
Is a badass bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And she owns a ping pong bar.
Yeah. And questionable Spin. Tweets, but yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and with that... Thank you guys. I don't know. I feel like I have so much to say, but like
so much to say, but so
but so little time, and we're already like way off the rails. I don't yeah. know, but yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Do you have, yeah, and do you have any last like summation thoughts?
My last summation thought, which I texted you guys, was like I could not believe that this entire case just hinged basically on a left turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I was Nick Hillary, you know, my defense would be, I can't turn left. I'm not an MB turner. Yeah. Boom. And the judge is like, you're right. Case dismissed.
Yeah. I can't turn left.
The information's in the computer. You throw the computer.
Do you exactly. have show, any shows, any plugs?
I have a, well, follow me on Instagram at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K for posting things. I have some coming up in September, but I forgot all the dates.
Perfect, Sarah.
Doing great. Follow me on Instagram, Sarah F. Carter. That's it.
I'm on Instagram at KSpaceB, case with a C. And then Boston, I had somebody reach out that said they're a huge fan, that they want to come. I'm so Woo! Excited. I hope you do. It's called Cityside, and it's on, I think, Beacon Street. And it's on Monday the 19th. The show is at 8:30. If you're interested, just DM me. I'll send you a screenshot of the thing. But Boston, September 19th, 8:30, Cityside Comedy.
Great. And follow us on Instagram, NATCpod. Same thing on Twitter. We have a fun Facebook group, not another true crime
mm-hmm.
group.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about our theories. We post fun memes. It's like a good time. We have some fun interactions. We roast other people we know, secret serial killer traits.
We roast hard. And also,
it's fun.
That's a great place, too. The DMs are great for it. But for episodes like this, where we kind of just unpack and review documentaries and things that come out, throw them on there. If you guys have a lot of interest in one, we'll totally jump in on it. Yeah.
And as always, send us your sign-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Today's comes from courtesy of _ AJ Hinson. Thanks for listening to Not Another True Crime Podcast. Kim, stop taking pictures. Your sister is going to jail.
Ha 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 ha!
Betches.